And this is KGNU Boulder, Denver and Fort Collins. And we're going to continue the conversation now. We have Rosanna Longo, who is the producer of that documentary, The Inaugural Podcast, which is this new collaboration between KGNU and the Community Foundation of Boulder County. Chris Barge of the Community Foundation also joining us in the studio. And some of the voices that we've heard in that documentary as well. Shay Castle, who's been reporting on issues in Boulder for many years and really has been paying attention to the mobile homes. And also Annalie Perez, who grew up in Orchard Grove. It was so lovely to hear what a lovely childhood that you had there and how the community is organising there. So welcome to everyone. Rosanna, congratulations. What a great first edition, I think, of our podcast you did there. And I know there was a lot of work. You went out into so many of the homes, so many of the parks in the county. We didn't even hear a fraction of the voices that you actually got to hear yourself. And we will have the next edition also continuing a look at mobile homes and some of the other issues facing them that will come next month. But what were some of the big eye-openers for you as you were reporting on this story?
Thank you, Maeve. This has been an experience. It has been a wonderful experience connecting with the people in home, in mobile homes or manufactured homes, like we call them now. And it has been very, really personal. It has been eye-opener. Many times, as you know, because I'm very emotional, I came to back to the, to the office, to the studios, bringing those voices and just crying because the stories really touch me, just to realize how hard it is. And maybe one of the fun things that I have to also tell you is that I got together with people there, with young ones at night. It was different. It was a different reporting. It was going into their homes, getting together with them after work, and, having a good time also, getting those voices. And I feel really, really humble and also really, it's really emotional for me. I think I have such an opportunity to bring these voices that are not heard and to be also guided by wonderful people that know so much. And I am here to learn.
Well, we're very excited to have this opportunity through this podcast to be able to share some of these voices that are rarely heard, really, and certainly to the depth that we're going to be exploring some of these issues. Well, Chris Barge, the Community Foundation of Boulder County, has really made it possible for KGNU to do this kind of reporting because you also want to bring these voices to the forefront because these are the folks that you're coming across as you're compiling your trends report.
That's right. And this has been such a privilege to watch unfold, and sitting here next to Shay Castle, who was the reporter that did a lot of the reporting and writing for our new trends report. This is a great extension of the work that we've been doing for 20 plus years. We've always looked at about 150 ways to measure the health of the community across social, economic, and environmental indicators. We've looked at what's new and persistent, and then we've in recent years started doing some on-the-ground reporting, and this is a great extension of that Rosanna has done with Shay and Annalie and the others that you heard in this podcast. So we're just thrilled that as we expand this trends reporting, it's really manifesting in this way.
Well, we're going to bring Shay in just a moment, but I do want to mention Annalie Perez. You and your mom were featured very prominently in that radio documentary. It was lovely to hear of your experience growing up and having a real community sense in Orchard Grove, but then how the community came together over not just the water issue. That was the latest issue that you had to deal with because your mom has been really organizing in the community for decades. But take us back to what happened earlier this year and what it was like when the water system failed and everybody in Orchard Grove found themselves without the ability to turn on a tap, flush a toilet, take a shower, wash dishes, bathe.
Yeah. It started we often get our water shut off and it's like, oh, like I said, like, oh, an hour or two. And then it's like, wait a minute, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. There's no call from the management office. And, I start calling and saying, hi, I'm in lot number 263, are you going to turn on the water soon? And like, oh, we're getting it fixed. And that was the answer we got for 10 hours 12 hours. And then it's like, wait a minute, this is not okay. And we have to flush and we have to get ready for bed and get ready for school and do laundry. And it's like our neighbors, like, what you know, what do they have to do with water? You know, so it's just, it's hard.
It's something that we all take for granted. And then when it's gone, even for a few hours, you realize just how ubiquitous this is, that we need to be able to just turn on a faucet and have access to clean water.
What I was thinking when I was listening was, you know, so I grew up here, but every summer we would go to Mexico. And so I knew that the water would be shut off from like 10 to 3. So we would get all of our chores done in the morning. So my mom would get up early and she would help my grandma like sweep and mop and do laundry and hang it out. And by 3 o'clock, you know, when my uncles would get home from work, they would shower and like we could like play in the water. And it's like, oh yeah, like we're used to being without water. Like I've done this summers for years, but it's like, you know, the water came back at 3 o'clock and this was like, oh, this is not like Mexico. This is not good. Like this is bad. So it was hard.
Well, one of the things that really jumped out in the story and in Rosanna's reporting was, Shay, when you spoke about how this kind of emerged through the sugary drinks tax and this issue where people were going out and trying to get people to drink water instead of soda. And then people started to realize, hey, not everyone can actually drink the water.
Yes, absolutely. That's how I learned of it. So it's not like I uncovered this. It's the workers in our community from Boulder County, excuse me, that really brought this to the forefront and to the attention of leaders, although community members have been dealing with it for years. And I heard stories from multiple mobile home parks, where there were a range of different issues with the water. And even though it's technically safe, people aren't going to drink it if it smells bad or it tastes bad. And it just really floored me because this is Boulder, Colorado. We have some of the best water in America. We're an incredibly wealthy community. And so the fact that some of our neighbors can't drink their water or use it to wash dishes or anything just was kind of like one of those things that makes you stop short.
Well, one of the things that emerged, I think, in that radio documentary was that it's quite a complex web of issues. You have some homes are on municipal water, which is the case for Orchard Grove. You have some homes that are on well water. All of them are dealing with some type of old infrastructure problem because of the private land issue that a mobile home is privately owned, that often the infrastructure from the city will end at the boundary of the park. And then it's the park owner's responsibility to deal with that infrastructure. Shay, take us through some of that and why that has created this kind of complexity.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of these mobile home parks were built in the 50s and 60s on what were then the outer parts of the city, outside city limits. And in fact, Boulder has only 4 parks within its city limits. All the others that we think are in Boulder aren't technically within the city. And as you said, it is private ownership. So it's essentially like, you know, the government can't come into your house and make you upgrade all your pipes. And, you know, they can monitor, like I said, the safety. You have to provide safe water, but there's nothing about providing water, you know, that doesn't go out for 12 hours at a time, or water that smells good and tastes good. And because a lot of these parks were built so long ago, the infrastructure has reached the end of its useful life, and it's millions and millions of dollars to replace these pipes. And it's this really hard spot to be in, where it's either a really small, you know, family ownership style, because that's how they all started, or it's a giant corporation, and the small family ownership can't often afford to do these repairs, and the large corporations don't want to. So there's some that can be done, but it is super tricky, because the other thing is, when you make these upgrades, that's a cost. And how do you do that without passing that cost on to tenants who are already really struggling under increasing rents?
Well, to that end, let's put the manufactured housing community, mobile home communities, in context, because Shay, in the new trends report, you wrote a lot about housing and the cost of housing, and some of the statistics would blow your mind. I think the median cost of a single family home in the city of Boulder is close to $1 million. And other communities in the county are also seeing massive increases. So what role do manufactured houses, do mobile homes actually play when we're always having this conversation about how can we provide affordable housing? And we're not just talking about low income, but it's also middle income as well. So what is the role of the mobile home community when we're talking about housing in general?
Well, a lot of leaders see mobile homes as the last really option for affordable housing because it is so much cheaper. You know, that median one-bedroom rent in Boulder is well over $1,000 at this point. As you mentioned, single-family homes near $1 million. Even condos are about, you know, $500,000, which is absolutely out of the reach of so many people. The thing with holding mobile homes up as an example of affordability is still... Even that's problematic. The average lot rent in Boulder is $725 to $800, which is not, I couldn't afford that as one person. You do have the benefit of if it's a home, you can fit more than one person in there, but that's still, you know, if you're a single parent or something and you earn minimum wage, you're still going to struggle with that. And the rents have been going up so quickly, but it is kind of the best we have. So city leadership is really focused on how do we keep those rents from escalating and how do we keep people in those homes?
Well, one of the issues that we just touched on in this particular episode that we'll explore more in depth in the next month's episode is that issue that the mobile home residents, they're at the nexus of renters and homeowners because very often they own the actual home, but they're renting the land and that makes them incredibly vulnerable. Rosanna, I know we're going to explore that in depth in the next series, but just take us through that a bit because I think that is something that creates this extra layer of vulnerability for folks in the parks.
Well, that's a, I think, key, you know. Imagine you own your home and then you need to keep on paying rent. It's really strange. And from my experience, one of the things that I was super surprised, and, you know, Anna Lee, you're here, when you mentioned the amount of money your mom paid 29 years ago for her, for your mobile home. Your manufactured home. That's amazing. If you really start thinking about, imagine all those years, she could have easily, you know, purchased a land and a home.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can talk about that would be fantastic because I just, and yes, we are going to be touching those, you know, that topic that is super important. Ownership of your home and your land. So it was a discovery for me.
Yeah, so it happened, like we were sitting at the table one day and my mom was showing me like important paperwork. And I think she was looking up some receipts for a conversation or a neighborhood meeting. And she slips over the title to the mobile home. I'm like, oh, what's this? She's like, this is the title to the mobile home. I was like, oh, okay. And like, what's this number? It said 5,050. I was like, what's this? Is this like taxes? What is this number? She's like, that's how much I paid. Like, you paid like 50,000? And she's like, no, 5,050. That's what I paid. I'm like, really? Like, that's really cheap. And she's like, yeah, well, try buying a mobile home now. It's like, oh no. Like, and it's a lovely home. It's a 2-bedroom, 2-bath, but you know, now it's yikes.
But then of course your mom has been paying rent every month,
right,
for the lot that her home that she owns actually sits on.
Right. So she started when she moved in, rent was I think 250, and now starting in, if I'm not mistaken, December, it'll be $800 a month. So it's gone up quite a bit, and she's a single mom, you know, and on fixed income.
We're talking about manufactured homes, mobile homes here at KGNU this morning. You've just heard a special podcast, a radio documentary that's a collaboration between KGNU and the Community Foundation of Boulder County, taking a look at just some of the issues facing the residents in the many mobile home communities that are in the county. This morning, we really heard about some of the infrastructure issues, water quality, water quantity, when your water gets turned off, and how people are really organizing around this. It's produced by Rosanna Longo, and she's in studio with us, as is Chris Barge of the Community Foundation of Boulder County, and reporter Shay Castle of Boulder Beat, who's been paying attention to mobile homes for many years, and Anna Lee Perez, who grew up in Orchard Grove. It's one of the four manufactured housing communities within the city limits of Boulder. Now, there are about 25, I think, throughout the entire county, but this issue of being within city limits and out of city limits, as we have been hearing, is really important because that affords you different levels of protection. Annalee, it sounds like there's a wonderful community spirit in Orchard Grove, and it was lovely to hear about you growing up there, and you have this beautiful yard and mature trees. And when the crisis hit earlier this year, when the water was turned off, you really got to know your neighbours. You know, there had been that great community spirit anyway, but give us a sense, because it's very easy to frame all of this in negativity, to say, oh gosh, these people are dealing with all of these issues. And we don't want to ignore the fact that there's an incredible sense of community in these parks as well. So it gives a sense of what that's like.
Yeah, it was, you know, I know my neighbors, you know, my next door neighbor and, you know, the person that lives across the street, like two houses down. But it was just, you know, how unfortunate the event was. It was nice to see them, you know, like we would see them in the afternoon, like, hey, how are you guys doing? And there's this one family that we've known, I mean, since they moved in like 10 years ago, and they have like two or three little ones. And, you know, we'd see them each carrying their little bucket and like, we're just getting water. And it was just, you know, just checking in. How are you guys doing? Oh, good. You know, it's like, how's work? How's life? You know, just aside from the issue, you know, it was just nice to check in and how are you guys doing? Oh, good. How's school? How are your kids? How's work? And it's so nice to be able to just kind of reconnect with your neighbor that you know is there. But yeah, just to check in with them and have a little conversation.
Your mom, Sally, Dad, she's been organizing in the community, gosh, for nearly the three decades that she's lived there. We focused on what happened in February when the water got cut off and people were without water for days. But take us back to some of the other issues and really some of the other organizing that's happened in Orchard Grove.
Yeah, so when the mobile home land was going to be sold, we got a notice saying that if we didn't want the land to be sold, to come to a meeting. And I think that's when my mom said, like, oh, like, she doesn't read English. So the note was only in English. And I said, oh, it says here that they're going to sell the mobile home park, and if we don't want it to be sold, to do something about it or go to this meeting. And that's when it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go knock on my neighbor's door, who, you know, Spanish speaking, and say, hey, do you know this? Are you going to go to the meeting? Like, we have to do something about it. And when the day of the meeting came, it was an eye-opener for her, because she's like, oh, I didn't know there was so many other Spanish-speaking people in the community, because we know our two rows of neighbors, but just to know the people on the other side of the park as well. And she just, you know, like, what are we going to do? What can we do about this? And let's go to the meetings. When there was meetings at city council, she would go and say, you know, we would have flyers, and so she would go put them on the doors and just knock and say, hey, are you coming to the meeting? It's going to be at this time. We can give you a ride. So just kind of really stepping up and taking care of our community.
And now there's a next generation of activism around that. And one of the voices that we heard was Jesus Salazar. Rosanna, tell us more about that, and really how the city has then really identified how Jesus is this wonderful organizer within his own community. And now he has an official role. And we'll talk about how then he is communicating with everybody in the homes.
Well, Jesus Salazar was, a person that I connected deeply. Why? Because guess what? He went to Boulder High, and he knew my son, Daniel. And just that, you know, that close got me thinking, this is our community. You know, these are communities living here just like all of us, and that they already have a support system. And coming to know this young one has been a beautiful experience. Seeing his character, you know, the way he connects with people, and also the desire to help. And he wants to be, you know, the connector with the community, with the city council, out of desire, a lot of passion. So seeing him gives me a lot of hope of our communities to have a voice, and, you know, to really fight for their rights, because we are really talking about displacement. We're really talking about gentrification. One of the things that he said to me is, you know, Google is so close, and our houses, we are afraid of losing our homes. And yes, there's a huge desire to organize. And one of the things that, you know, we sat together and we were sharing ideas, thoughts, and it was really an incredible experience knowing, just like Anna Lee, you know, getting to know the young people that are behind, that are just like my kids. They speak English perfectly, they speak Spanish perfectly, and they understand, you know, they are bilingual, bicultural, they understand the culture. I was like, it gave me a lot of hope.
And Jesus was able to set up a system where he's able to send text message alerts mm-hmm. to folks. Talk about that.
So it seems like this is a year in the making. We had a conversation and he said, you know, Rosanna, I am doing this thing, helping connect the people through text. And I, you know, it's a program through the city, and you get a text from the city. I get it, for example, and you can choose either English or Spanish, and then you get information to, you know, to be part, to give opinions. So it's a back and forth, and I think it's a great way to communicate with our community. Why? Because, you know, we don't have internet at home. Mostly, most of our community, they don't have access to internet at home, so they have phones, and through the phones is how they communicate. And a lot of, you know, many times is through text, not email. So communication is changing, social media, all that, and that's what he's this young person is bringing to the table and connecting the communities with the city.
Well, we have about 10 minutes left this morning as we're having this conversation about what's happening with the mobile home parks, the manufactured housing communities in Boulder County. We just heard earlier this morning the inaugural documentary, the podcast. It's a collaboration between KGNU and the Community Foundation of Boulder County. You can subscribe to that. Just look for Trends, KGNU or Community Foundation of Boulder County, wherever you get your podcasts. Do subscribe. There's going to be a lot of very interesting conversations happening in the coming months. Rosanna Longo was a producer of that documentary. Chris Barge is joining us in the studio from the Community Foundation of Boulder County. Reporter Shay Castle has been reporting on these issues for many years, and Annalie Perez, who grew up in Orchard Grove. Her and her mom, Soledad, were featured in that documentary. Shay Castle, we heard about the difference between if you're in a mobile home park, a manufactured housing community within city limits of Boulder, the city can intervene in certain cases. They were able to bring water, say, to the Orchard Grove residents when they were alerted to what was going on. If you're outside of city limits, it's more of a grey area. However, this new legislation that was passed, and we did hear from Edie Hooton, one of the co-sponsors of that bill, basically gave more teeth to existing mobile home legislation. Do you see this as being something that's really going to make a difference?
I think anything helps. Colorado has had some protections for mobile home parks for years, and the fact that there's so much energy around this and people paying attention is absolutely great. And the city of Boulder is going even farther than what the state did. They just adopted a manufactured housing strategy that they will use to look at even further protections that they can do. And the Boulder County Public Health Department, I've connected with them around this, and they're well aware and paying attention and brainstorming possible ways to get residents clean water. And so there is a lot of energy. There's a lot of focused attention. It's not enough yet, but, you know, let's keep going. I think people will keep going. Everything we can do will help. It's going to help with getting residents to, you know their rights and be able to advocate for themselves against these landlords in cases of eviction and price gouging and things like that.
And one of the issues around threats of eviction and the price gouging is related to water, with the water metering that we heard about there as well, because very often it's lumped in with your rent. There isn't an individual meter for each home, so you're really subject to, I mean, all kinds of problems with that. Could you talk a little bit more about that, Shay?
Absolutely. So, you know, I live in an HOA. We also have a shared water bill. We pay it through our HOA fees. However, I've experienced any of the things that I heard from talking to some of residences. You make a complaint, and then next month your water bill is somehow higher, or you know how much water you use, and for some reason, you're paying $300 a month in water. It just doesn't seem equitable. It doesn't seem like these residents are being charged for the water they use. And also, when you have this really old infrastructure, there are leaks constantly, as we've seen in Orchard Grove, as I've heard in other communities. And the residents are paying for that water when the infrastructure is the mobile home park owner's responsibility.
Well, we just have a few minutes left. Annalie, what would you like people to know in the broader community who maybe don't know folks who live in a manufactured housing community, and maybe they have learned quite a few things this morning listening to this conversation? What would you like people to take away from all of this?
I think that we're a community like any other, and we're facing some issues. And I think it's a good example that we can come together and work together and try to make a difference in our community and show others, you know, the strength that we have, and, you know, that we can come together. And if there's issues going on in our community, they can say, hey, there's issues going on in our community, and let's get together and let's also try to make a change. Because, you know, we live in a mobile home park, and you know, you can live in a regular neighborhood, and you can also come together and, you know, raise your voices and try to make a change for yourself and for your community.
And Jay Castle, somebody who also watches what's happening at City Council so closely as well, is there something people should really pay attention to in the coming months? You mentioned that the City of Boulder is going even further than current state laws in terms of protecting folks. But what should people be looking out for?
I think people should be looking at the election. We're going to get 6 new council members, or maybe 4 new council members with 2 incumbents returning. So you have to keep on these people about mobile homes. Keep it on their radar. A couple of the candidates have spoken to mobile homes, but, you know, they're busy trying to win votes. So you really, really need to watch that election, vote if you can. And then once the new council is in, make sure they know that you're still here and you still need, you know, help, and you want to be connected with them.
And Chris Barge of the Community Foundation of Boulder County, the reporting in this is really based off what's happening with trends, where you take such a deep dive into statistics that are out there, and we're trying to tell the stories behind some of those statistics. And this new edition is just being launched. Talk a little bit more about that and the opportunities for listeners to engage with this in the coming weeks.
So the launch events are coming up in Longmont on October 7th at Front Range Community College over the lunch hour at 11:30 to 1 p.m. There's another launch event at the Boulder JCC October 15th, 11:30 to 1 as well. They're free, open to the public. We do ask, though, that you call us to RSVP. We're already expecting over 370 people between the two events at last count. So incredible interest in this. Please call us at the Community Foundation if you'd also like to attend, 303-442-0436. You know, it's inspiring. It's sort of it's devastating on the one hand to hear about these disparities and how much work that needs to be done. It's inspiring, though, to hear about the connections and the work that that's being done by Latino bilingual cultural brokers, in the case of Jesus Salazar, and Annalie, your advocacy and your mother's are inspiring as well. I was really taken by something that at the end of the podcast that Jesus said about, look, we put all this energy into protecting our land. We know in the trends report that there is about 1 acre for every Boulder County resident in this county that is publicly owned or protected, about 315,000 acres. That's 2/3 of our county, and about half of that land rings the City of Boulder through our open space. So as we've gone decades into this investment, now the environmental shift is happening, where we're having to ask questions about how well are we taking care of this land. I think similarly, as this ring that we've built around the city through taxpayer money has driven housing prices through the roof, we have to start asking the question about how do we take care of access to this beloved city, and how do we make sure that there's access for people not just to live here, but have access to, like, what you basically need. I mean, at a very fundamental level, everybody ought to be able to drink water that not only will not make them sick, but that they, you know, want to drink because it's palatable. I think this is just makes sense to people. And really, our call to action with trends and this podcast and everything that follows is that if your imagination is stirred by any of this, really so much can turn on our connectedness with one another. And so really, by getting to know each other and stand with the people that are in the middle of these struggles, we'll be able to engage with them and others and build a more connected and inclusive community. It sounds a little pie in the sky, but it is that simple in a county that, frankly, is not that large. We can do this if we band together and find our way with one another.
Well, we do encourage listeners to subscribe to the podcast for Trends, this new collaboration between KGNU and the Community Foundation of Boulder County. Now, we've got photos from the various different parks that Rosanna visited, all online at news.kgnu.org. And Rosanna, you're busy working on the second episode, which will launch in early November. That's continuing our look at mobile homes, but really taking a look at how people are actively engaging and how they can become the owners of the land in which their homes sit. So that's ahead.
I want to say stay tuned because I have a lot of voices and I really want to share them with you. And, you know, I just want to thank you having this opportunity, looking at the trends in front of me. I have read this magazine and just to be complementing with real voices of real people.
Well, don't forget, subscribe to that podcast. A big thank you to our guests in studio, Rosanna Longo, Chris Barge with the Community Foundation, reporter Shay Castle. Now, find all of our reporting about Boulder, boulderbeat.news. And there's a weekly newsletter that you send out that's chock full of information.
Yes, you can subscribe to that online at boulderbeat.news.
Shay Castle. And then Annalie Perez, thank you so much for participating and your mom. And it was so lovely to hear your voices and really what's happening at a community level in Orchard Grove. Thank you, Annalie.
Yeah, thank you for having me.